Video games are so accessible nowadays. Think about the fact that you have something like Xbox Game Pass. You pay a fixed fee and you can download a ton of games for either your computer or your Xbox. But then we have something like PlayStation Now. You stream games. And if you're a PC gamer, I mean, you talk about Steam. What about those Steam sales? Games that are so cheap, you go like, I don't need that game. But at $5, should I not get it? Oh yeah, and you can buy games physically. You can technically do that, but if you think about the fact that some physical games sometimes require you to download portions of them, therefore, if you don't have internet access, you have the disc, but do you really have the game? This kind of led to a conversation internally between us, and all of you reached out on social media and let us know, yeah, we want an episode, almost like a debate about digital versus physical video games. Which ones do we like? Which ones we prefer? And we're going to be talking about that right now on another exciting episode of A Cast to the Past. You can check out a brand new episode each and every Sunday as we talk about our favorite video games, movies, and things like this that are not necessarily tied to one game, but it does either improve or dampen or kind of doesn't really change our video game experience. My name is Juan Velez. I am from Puerto Rico. We're not going to have a panel of debaters. We're just going to debate. That's what this episode's all about. So, including this bunch, we have Ryan McNulty from Boston, Massachusetts, where, Ryan, putting you on the spot right away, in the digital versus physical debate in 2019, where do you stand on this?
I definitely lean towards physical. If I'm able to get a physical copy of it, I tend to prefer it. With things like PC games, it's kind of unavoidable. Like, my laptop doesn't even have a disk drive anymore. So that's where I'm stuck going digital. But if I can get a physical copy, I generally
will.
And
then we have from London, Ontario, Keith M. Poshuk. Now, Keith, for you, when thinking about the current landscape in video games, does it surprise you that we still have somewhat of a physical media, but then on the PC side of things, digital has become the norm? Or has this gone different than what you otherwise expected?
No, because console games have become such a collector's item. It's hard to imagine a world where they go away completely, but I lean more towards on the side of digital and fully embrace this digital future that PC seems to have gone. Like Ryan said, his laptop doesn't have a disk drive anymore. My desktop PC doesn't have a disk drive in it. I chose not to put one in when I build it. Like, there's no choice but to have a digital future, and everything's going okay on the PC, right? There's no stores on fire or exclusivity problems or anything like that. It's all happy in the digital age.
So going back a couple of years, let's say PS1 and 64 generation, where maybe we're old enough to appreciate getting a video game. Like, think about that experience of going to like KB Toys, Toys R Us, GameStop, EB Games, whatever the case. How important was that for you? I think it's one thing to play the game, but like the experience of going to the store, asking for the copy, you know, as you're driving back home, you're sort of opening it up, maybe you're checking out the manual. What was that experience like for you? Was that something that really just accentuated the entire video game thing?
Oh, as a kid, it was awesome being able to go to the store, grab your game, wait in line if you have to, just read the manual as you drive home, and then just run to your console and then start playing it. Great as a kid. As you get older, it kind of goes away because it becomes an inconvenience. Like, God damn it, I got to deal with 20 minutes of traffic to go get this game. Ugh, I don't want to.
Generally speaking, when do you think for you that kind of started? If you had to just sort of spitball a year, saying like, hey, 5 years ago, 3 years ago.
I'd say close to 10 years ago, if having to take a guess, when I had to drive and had a job and had errands to do, and being in the car usually meant I had to go do something. It becomes less fun, more of an inconvenience.
What about you, Ryan? Was that experience of going to the store important for you, or did you always just want to get the game?
Not necessarily going to the store, but as you guys talked about, having the physical game in your hands, having the being able to read the manual. I know with games like World of Warcraft and the Grand Theft Auto games, I would, you know, bring the manual to school or something, so I'd have something to read if I had some free time, and you just want to learn more about the game. Maybe you'd find something in there you didn't know. It's really sad to see this, the state of game manuals being basically non-existent in today's world. But that was something I really enjoyed. And sometimes, you know, if you got a collector's edition or whatever, you get some really cool stuff that came along with it. Just that experience was really something I did treasure.
Keith, in your case, for the video version, I think this is going to be a little bit more obvious because everybody can see our backgrounds. Like me, I have games behind me. You know, Ryan's got a stack of collectibles more so than video games. Keith, in your case, it's because it's hard to get an appreciation for. How much do you factor in your geekdom when designing the layout of your house? Like, do you have collectibles? Do you have game collections that you showcase? Or is it just kind of simplistic?
It's very simplistic. I'm not a big fan of clutter. And to me, especially in the last few years, having to move through multiple cities, the game collection that I once had has become clutter. So I like to keep it very minimum, where if there's... The only time I will buy physical if there is a good reason to buy physical, whether that being a sale or it's just something I really want to have. Those do happen. They're just very few and far between. But to me, that is just clutter that that eventually builds up, and all of a sudden you have your bookshelves worth of games, and that's just not something I want in my place. Like, yes, I love all things nerdy. I love all things wrestling. I love the entire like nerd culture, quote unquote. But just because I love it doesn't mean it's something that I have to showcase on a wall or put on a bookshelf. It's something that's never really made sense to me. It's why I've never subscribed to like a Crate or one of those monthly subscription things, because to me that just seems like a bunch of useless things. That's
hey,
cool.
I take offense to that.
And you know what? If it's your thing and you enjoy it, great. Guess what? It's not my thing. To me, it's just something that you look at for a bit. Most of it, 90% of it, is something that you look at for a bit and say, oh, that's cool. And it either ends up on a shelf, in a box, or in a basement. And what was the point of it? It's something I've never been able to wrap my head around. And that's why I lean more towards the digital side of things, because, okay, if you take the things that you talk about, your PS Nows, your Xbox Live Game Passes, your Steams, your PlayStation Pluses, you can easily accumulate a library of thousands of games. That is not hard to do in like a digital era. And that is something that those 1,000 games, if I were to like put them physically on something, it would maybe be a stack of about, oh, maybe like a finger size, because it's a couple hard drives or the width of a PS4 or an Xbox One. It's just something that eliminates the clutter that I don't want in my life.
That's a really good point. I think that the reason it's important to talk about our houses and the way that we live in the context of this is like, yeah, think about the fact that we played... From, you know, we've played some NES and Super Nintendo games, but generally speaking, like I think N64, PS1s when we really got the ball rolling. Imagine if we bought and owned still to this day every single game we ever wanted. You know, our houses would literally be 90% full of only video games. Like in my case, you know, I'm married to somebody that's also a gamer. So when we got married, it was interesting, like combining the video game collections, and naturally, it became a center of attention in our home because, well, that's what happens when you have a bunch of games and things like that. Because to me, the reason that I love physical games, not only is it the ownership situation, because when you buy something digitally, you're buying a license. You're not buying the game. You're buying access to something that more often than not, because we never read the small text, it has an expiration date. Most of the movies and the video games that we buy, maybe it's like 2050, maybe it's like 2060. But the fact that you're buying something from an expiration date, even though a CD can totally stop working, is a little bit weird. But to me, the physical game collection also says something about me. Like right now, one of you could come here in our home, say you didn't know me and my wife, right? You could look at our video game collection and get a sense of what we like. You know, if there are more classic games than current games and little things like that. In your case, Ryan, I feel like you're kind of in the middle of the conversation. In addition to maybe taking advantage of some sales, like Keith said, what to you would be the biggest benefit now to keep physical video games?
So there's a few different things that I do really appreciate about a physical game. One of that being, probably most importantly, is that it's not tied to one device. Now, I know something, we kind of have to throw PC out of the conversation for this.
I agree.
But when we're talking about console games, if I buy something digitally, well, then my friend can't necessarily borrow it. You know, there's the whole aspect. I appreciate that old school aspect of trading games or letting each other borrow games so that, you know, you don't have to always shell out $60 to play a game that, you know, it's a good little system you can have. Also, in the case of when I used to stream like a lot of DS games, the fact that I downloaded one game digitally and it wasn't on my capture card DS created a lot of problems. Or if you have multiple systems, then you can't freely play the game on any of those systems that you want. So that's just a few of the things to keep in mind. And as I said, the aspect of like having that be kind of a part of your personality with that collection, I do think is something nice to have.
Yeah, a really good example is recently we reviewed Katamari Damacy Reroll. So we're hanging out with a friend. He actually points out, hey, I listened to the episode. Somebody that I knew for a fact had never played the game. So guess what? Because I bought the physical copy for the Nintendo Switch, what did I do? I lent him my copy. So it's a situation of, hey, you've always heard about this game. Guess what? I already beat it. I may go back to it, but the initial experience, I had it. And in that case, the physical copy and the digital one cost the same. So it's like, well, I could have something in my collection that maybe I don't want to trade it, but the option is there. I think the factor of option is key, because when you buy something digitally, even though Sony has apparently they've been patenting some stuff for video game digital trade-ins, this is not the first time that's happened, because a couple of PC gaming sites actually have dwelled in that. It's like, hey, you played the game, you're technically taking the license away, maybe we give something a little back. It's almost like the evolution of video game rentals, if you really think about it. But tying something in, like for somebody like me, Hurricane Maria was a friendly reminder of both things. So generally speaking, games that you get on PS Plus, for example, you need to connect online at least a couple times a month or one time a month. What happens when something happens and you don't have internet access? All of a sudden, that entire game collection is irrelevant. What did I do? I had my PS2 collection, I had my PS3, my PS4 collection, but on the flip side, when the hurricane happened, Super Mario Odyssey came out. I had it pre-ordered at Best Buy physically. No stores are open. But one day we went to my wife's father's work. They had Wi-Fi. I was able to buy digitally. So it all depends on the situation and little things like that. Now,
yeah. I was going to say, ultimately, it feels like there is currently more power in physically owning it. Because at the end of the day, digital copies, kind of the fate of that is really in the hands of the people, you know, Sony and Microsoft, and they could really do anything they want with your digital copy if they really wanted to, where we kind of have to see how things shake out as we move forward. But that physical copy, right now, you have more power, as in you don't necessarily need online, and you have the ability to not only trade it with another person, but resell it, try to recoup some of the money you invested in that. Whereas digitally, as of now, it's not really something you can do.
To a degree, I disagree with that, because if you're looking, this is more on the side of them taking licenses away and you being powerless in that respect. If you look at it from the side of the maker of the game, the creator, then yes, 100%. That is something that is an unproven relationship, and there are examples of good, there are examples of bad. But when you're looking at the community as a whole, that doesn't really exist. Like, there are foundations, there are groups dedicated to preserving games, because when you're speaking in this hypothetical of 25 years down the line, if they do take away a license, there's really no difference between that and the fact that a physical copy of a Super Nintendo cartridge has a battery in it, a battery that will one day die and make that cartridge inept unless you go and repair
it's different.
It's not, though, really, because that is a physical thing that still has a shelf life. But
PT kind of kills your point.
Okay, and the copies of Super Nintendo games that are reaching their 25-year...
You can replace the batteries. You can't re-download
the game. Okay, but there are people that preserved PT. If you want to go play PT today, you can go play PT. There are places on the internet where you can do that. If you're looking at the entire video game community as a whole, the preservation of it is being well taken care of. It's not being well taken care of by publishers. I will be the first to admit that one, because there are very bad examples of it. Recently being the Wii U thing,
virtual console,
the virtual console,
the Wii virtual,
yeah, the
console,
Wii virtual console, and that community that I'm completely blanking the name on, where you could put weird hentai pictures in Super Smash Bros. From it. But Nintendo completely shut that server down. But people preserved it. So you're never going to run into a situation where, yes, you might not own it the way that you did 25 years down the line. And you know what? I'm going to use Doom 3 as an example. If you want to play Doom 3 in 25 years, I guess that's something that you can do if you want to. But even if you don't own that license, there are going to be places where you can go play that copy of Doom 3 in 25 years. It might not be the way that you want it, but there are going to be ways that it is preserved.
I think it's unfair to compare when you branch out from video games. Right now, you can go to Walmart, and most of the movies that you want to buy, or even music albums, you can still buy physically, because with every other medium, it's expected that if you want to buy a Metallica album, if you want to buy the Black album, you can go to Walmart right now and buy it. You can't go to Walmart and buy a brand new copy of The Legend of Zelda for the NES. So, as you mentioned, the community is doing a good job of keeping things alive. But first of all, in many ways, it's sometimes illegal. Like, even though it's the only way to preserve it. Like, right now, Castlevania Rebirth on the Wii, not the Wii, the Wii Virtual Console, there's no actual way to download it. Unless somebody kept the copy, because that only existed exclusively on that virtual console. So I think it's really up to us as gamers to sort of push the agenda and be like, okay, if you're going to keep doing this, at least make video games relevant long term. And I think that when you look at the three companies, Xbox is definitely number one with something like Game Pass, because not only are they doing Game Pass, you know, I have an Xbox One X, and they're combining things, because I can put in my physical copy of Splinter Cell Double Agent from the 360, and not only can I play it on the Xbox One X right now, it upconverts it because it downloads a different copy. So I think there is like a middle ground. I think we're still in the transitional phase.
Yeah, like, the thing is, like, there hasn't been a giant example of this going wrong. The day that something like Steam goes away, that's going to be one of those days where it is really put to the test. Now, who knows if that's ever going to happen? In my opinion, I think the first big example we're going to see of this is the day that the Xbox Live Arcade goes away, because I think that day is closer than we think, at least as far as purchasing new things on Xbox Live Arcade, because that was really the first big downloadable platform.
You mean going like the 360?
Yeah, the 360, like the Xbox Live Arcade in the Summer of Arcade area, when we're talking about games like Braid, when we're talking about games like Super Meat Boy. If you bought those versions on the Xbox Live Arcade, I think those are going to be something that is going to go away sooner than you think. That's really, in my opinion, going to be the first big example of this. And
it's already happened, though.
On Xbox Live Arcade?
Yeah, for example, Deadpool says hi.
That's
like,
true.
The Lord of the Rings Lego game, for example, the Scott Pilgrim game, that actually happened as well.
They don't take it away from you if you already bought it. Like, you can go and download it today if you want. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm talking about but when that's that not even that's not
I get
even possible.
It, I get it. But even though I know PT is a demo, but that happened. Like PT is the playable teaser for the Silent Hill game, insert Ryan crying here, that will never come to exist. But in contrast to those games that for licensing, they took them away. But as Keith mentioned, you can still download them. You can't download that demo anymore officially. People have remade it in the Unreal Engine for PC, but people are selling PS4s on eBay with built-in digital downloads of that because there's no other way to obtain it.
You see this iPad right here?
Even though it's only a demo.
This iPad, it has a copy of Flappy Bird on it.
Now, did they remove the download from people's game
systems? If you have it downloaded in your console, you can play it. But if you remove it on your console, even if you originally downloaded it, you can't do that anymore. So the fact that that happened for that lets you know that, hey, maybe it's not going to happen 99% of the time, but there's always going to be that one example. But we have a lot of people. We have two responses here, actually, from Twitter. So maybe let's just bring those up, and maybe that can carry the conversation as well. So, Keith, could you comment on the one from TJ Kinder?
Absolutely. TJ Kinder says, I love physical for the box art slash case. Also love to collect special edition bundles that come with a physical art book, keychained or CD of the music, keychains, and etc.
So how important are special editions for you? Like, I know in your case, Keith, anything Metal Gear, etc.
You know what? Not even that. I bought the special edition of Metal Gear Solid 4. Even that was clutter to me, where it was just like a box, or it was like a cool little box art, and it was kind of whatever. I'm not going to lie, I hate special editions. I think they're really dumb, and you're paying. There's so many cases where they've gone so wrong that to me, it doesn't make sense anymore of why would you go out and buy a special edition? You're paying extra money for a lot of useless stuff. Again, you're paying money for clutter, and usually the good stuff that comes in a special edition is a code or a digital download for something coming in the later date. If you want a good example of what I'm talking about when I say a bad edition of a special edition, look no further than the Marvel vs. Capcom game Infinite, I believe, where they promised these amazing looking Infinity Stones when you just got E. Cheese like play balls. It was just that ruined all of the goodwill, stuff like that. And I just don't, or Fallout 76, another great example of that. Just so much goodwill has been burned with that stuff, as far as I'm concerned, that I have no interest in that stuff.
When you compare, and I know Ryan, maybe you can sort of react to this, going back to the GameCube, I remember that with Wind Waker, the pre-order bonus, it wasn't even a special edition, the pre-order bonus was Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask, right? I believe it was, or Master Quest, I think it was.
Yeah, it might have been Master Quest. There was two different Zelda games where if you pre-ordered it, you could get a GameCube edition, a port of Ocarina of Time. And those are very rare and go for a lot of money nowadays. So that's one great bonus that I wish I had done back in the day, because I really do want that copy. So there can be some really good stuff with it. I generally am not crazy about the collector's edition unless there's something I really, really want on it. So even the Zelda ones, I generally haven't gotten. It has to have something very, very enticing, or they just come out with it too late, right? I'll buy a 3DS and then all of a sudden they come out with this sweet Zelda 3DS and I'm like, you bastards, like if only I waited.
Yeah, and even new games, like you bring up 3DS, like back in the day, if you bought a PS2 and it came with Gran Turismo 3, it would come with a physical copy of it. Whereas now, whether it be a handheld or it's a console, by default, it's a download code, which to me, like when you open the console, the fact that it's like,
just cutting costs.
Yeah, I get it, but it removes the fun factor. But Ryan, could you read the one from Cynical Cypher?
Certainly. So Cynical Cypher says, for my PlayStation, since it's stationary, not going anywhere, I tend to regularly get physical copies. However, on my Switch, I exclusively get digital copies, so I don't have to lug around any games with me wherever I want and when he wants to change a game. That being said, since discs are only installed with what they're installed with, it makes it feel almost pointless when there's a day one patch or update that keeps you waiting to play regardless. So I'm slowly going more to digital for that reason, so that I don't have to wait until I get at the store or wait for it to be delivered. As soon as it's midnight, it tends to be good to play with pre-downloading and such.
So he brings up two incredibly good examples. The first one is the whole fact that I sort of brought this up earlier. When you buy a new game now, if you want to play it when you get home, you got to have your expectations in check of being like, okay, guess what? 20 gig. It's not like a 500 megabyte. Minimum 15, 20 gig patch. I've seen upwards to like 65 gigabyte day one patches. So really, you have a disc, which is nice to put in the console. And I'm not saying that's always the case. Limited run games, like these limited publications of games, they try their best to wait until the Game of the Year edition or something is out there. But what do you guys feel about that, where it's pretty much a physical digital copy of a game, if you think about it?
I hate it.
My least favorite thing of the PS3 and beyond era is, oh, loaded up my PlayStation for the first time in 2 weeks to play a new game. System update. Pop the disc in. Game update. You're just like, I miss the days where I could put in a Super Nintendo cartridge, turn the thing on, and I had a game right there. It's very, very annoying. I know the benefits, but it's very annoying.
It's kind of killed that experience that we talked about at the beginning of this episode, where you could go buy a game, go home and play it, because now you have the expectation of you're going to go home, go home, and then you're going to let it download for 4 hours because it has a day one patch. And most games do have a day one patch, and that is something that made me lean towards digital big time in the grand scheme of things, because like Cynical mentioned, when you buy digital, you can preload it, you can pre-download it. 9 times out of 10, you're getting that day one patch already before you can play it. That is the way that you can sit down at midnight when a game comes out and play that game now. The days of doing that physically are kind of over. And there's kind of the other side of that, where if you live in an area that doesn't have an internet connection, you're getting an incomplete or sometimes like super buggy version of a game because you don't have the ability to download that patch. If there is a major fix in that day one patch that can be like 60 gigs and you don't have the internet structure to download it, you're just screwed. Now, even though digital isn't an option, you're kind of stuck with an inferior physical copy of the game, so really, what's the point in even getting it?
And then the other part he brings up, and I feel like the three of us own Switches, right?
Yes.
Exactly. I mean, we play Katamari,
right? I'm addicted to Stardew Valley. It just won't stop. I'm in year three of fall, and my farm is going well.
I'm thinking about getting into it. My wife and I want to play multiplayer on Steam.
Run away. I want to try it, man. I have hands wrapped around you.
I just think you're just
going to casually play it, then all of a sudden you're building a brewery with over 1,000 kegs, and you have to have the great fields.
I think there are support groups for these things.
Oh, God, I need help so bad.
No, but it's true. Like, I love what he mentioned there, where for the PS4, you're not lugging that thing around for the most part, right? So therefore, physical or digital, it's not like you're moving your collection. But the Switch, for example, I am traveling next week as of the recording of this video. And for me, I travel with my Switch. But because of most of the juicy games that I play are physical, I got to think about, okay, well, luckily I have a case where I can put all the games, but I got to factor that in. And if I lose my Switch, therefore, I also lose my physical copies. But then the eShop is so many games that are so cheap. I mean, there have been games that are 9 cents like to buy, right? So I have like this huge physical collection. I have this huge digital collection. But it's this sort of like middle ground where it's handheld. And I mean, the 3DS is the same thing. Like whenever I travel with my 3DS, I have a bunch of games. And it's just like, oh man, if I had all these digitally, I feel like handheld gaming should absolutely be digital, but then I'm a hypocrite and buy most things physical for the Switch.
It should be until you have to run up against the proprietary storage problems that come with the Switch. Because if you don't go out and buy additional storage for it, there are some games you cannot even download on the Switch digitally. Like L.A. Noire is bigger than the internal storage on a Switch.
The actual, yeah.
So I agree with the digital future.
And that game's
exactly.
like old.
So I agree with the all digital way. That's what I do it, but that's because I had to spend additional money to make that work. So I feel like there is room for improvement there.
And luckily the micro SDs are like super cheap, generally speaking. But as you mentioned, it's like, you got to have your expectations in check that it's not about buying a Switch and plug and play. Even if you get a physical game, you're going to have scenarios where you need to buy, like I have a 128 gigabyte micro SD, which is not all that big, all things considered now, but I haven't needed more, but it's because I've tried to pick and choose the games that I have. Any closing comments from your behalf, Mr. McNulty, about this topic?
I still prefer physical copies for the things I outlined, such as having that ability to resell and being able to trade with friends and just having something tangible in your hand. I fully understand that, you know, Juan, you and I were fighting a losing battle, that the future is in digital, and that Whoa. Is the way that things are going to go. And there are benefits to that. But right now, I do see that the consumer has more power if they have a physical copy than they have a digital copy at the present time. So that's kind of the side that I err on. And I accept that eventually I may not have that option, and that's okay, but I'm going to hang on while I still can.
Yeah, there's going to come a day. There's going to come a very dark day where we get that first big example of the digital age going wrong, and it's going to reshape everything. And honestly, the kind of physical versus digital is a very big what if argument until that day happens. But I think it's going to happen sooner than we all think. And I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes, because it could be a situation where there's so much uproar that everything gets pushed back to physical and that's the end of it. Or it is something that's like, oh, okay, it's actually not that bad, and we continue to go down this all digital path. But for the convenience that digital provides, for the ability to have thousands of games at your fingertips at any time, depending on your storage / download capabilities, I'm all for the digital future, with the odd exception depending on a sale. Because here's the deal: if Red Dead is $20 physical and it is $60 digital, I don't like digital enough to pay $40, and that's what it comes down to.
I don't know if you brought that up on purpose.
I did,
but naturally, okay, because this is the example of things that happen when you buy physical games versus digital. So I travel around all of Puerto Rico, and I'm a bit of a Walmart expert. I know which Walmarts to go to. And this is I am in no way proud of this, okay? I
just want to be very clear. That's not something to be proud of. Don't put that on a business card, Walmart expert.
But, oof, challenge accepted, my friend. But I know the Walmarts to go to that people don't really buy a lot of games at. So right now, the regular edition of Red Dead Redemption 2 is anywhere between $40 to $50. I went to this Walmart, and yep, they had it for $40. But then, just to the corner of it, you know how these Walmarts sometimes have like games that are slanted to the corner that unless you like peek at the crystal, you don't see them? I see the cardboard special edition of Red Dead Redemption 2 for $13 on clearance.
Ridiculous.
Because I guess that these are the editions that because they're special, people expect them to be out of stock quickly upon launch, and maybe they still had a couple of them. They had three of them. So that would never happen. That would never happen digitally. Maybe you can get it for $30 or something, but as long as things like this exist, I'm always going to be fighting the hard battle for physical copies of games, even though I have no doubt that when I pop this into my Xbox One, it's going to have like a half terabyte update or something, because video games suck nowadays, but they're so damn good.
So that's a better edition and it's cheaper?
Yeah, because remember that with the SKUs, I am assuming because they had this one for $13, but they also had the special edition of Assassin's Creed Odyssey for $17, but the regular edition was more. So I'm like, what probably happens is that in their system, they're not supposed to have these editions anymore. They're supposed to only have the normal ones. So this is like overstock. Wow. So they're just trying to get rid of it, and I reap the benefits. Even though I had no intentions of playing this game, because that's what happens with me. But people, this is going to be an ongoing topic. Notice that we talked about physical versus digital, but we didn't even get to, we kind of hinted at the digital versus subscription model. because even that is a subtopic within this topic. So I think that when we get to whatever new Xbox we're going to have, the PS5 that they confirm it's going to be backwards compatible with Xbox Game Pass being what it is, with PS Now, now you can download PS2 and PS4 games to it. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. Do you prefer to buy the digital game, or do you prefer to have temporary access to it, which is something like Netflix? So please follow us on social media and let us know at Cast of the Past on Twitter, Facebook. You can also send us an email at castofthepast@gmail.com. We have a Discord at castofthepast.com/Discord. And if you want to visit our YouTube channel or check out our incredible backlog of episodes, we recently reviewed Katamari Damacy Reroll on the Nintendo Switch. We had a pretty healthy video or podcast episode about favorite Game Boy Advance games. And if you're a fan of movies, we talked about Office Space, one of my personal favorite movies of all time. So up until next time, we will definitely be back with more, especially if you review us on your favorite podcast app, on another exciting episode of A Cast
to the Past.
Keith, we can still be digital friends.
Yes.
But we're technically digital friends. I mean, you're not physically.
Yeah, here. And I'm not your physical friend, baby.
Oh, but you wish you were.
Yeah.
Ryan, no. No? Yeah, we're good.